Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times, all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO, and you can find me on Instagram and YouTube as ELDUCHO Thrift. I'm very excited about this week's guest. I had the opportunity to interview a friend, and her name is Michaela. You can find Michaela on Poshmark and Instagram under the username closetreloved, and all of that information will be in the show notes for you. Michaela is a full-time clothing reseller living in the Pacific Northwest with her family. By day, Michaela can be found reselling clothing online, and if you can believe it, during a global pandemic, Michaela has also started an event planning business. We talk about all of this and more in the episode. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Michaela. Thanks for being on the podcast with me.
Hi. Thank you so much for asking me.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast and have this conversation with you. You know, if I've met a guest in person, I always like to, you know, the night before, I'm always like reflecting, like, you know, when did I first meet this person, or when did I first start talking to this person? I think we first started talking on Instagram like over a year ago.
Yeah, I think so.
It was like over a year ago. We had loosely planned to go to the Goodwill outlet together, which unfortunately hasn't happened yet. Thank God you didn't wait. And now you're a bin shopper.
Yeah.
You dove in.
I dove in. Yeah.
Got the courage. And then I think it was like just probably just about a year ago now that we met at a Posh Party Live. Like we got to meet in person.
Yeah.
Yes, which was so much fun. A year ago. I know. That was a year ago.
It almost feels like more than that just because of how much has happened.
I know. Time flies when you're in a pandemic, right?
Yep, for sure. Goodness.
Well, I'm so excited to have this conversation now because I feel like we've yet to have this like longer in-depth, get to know each other. So without further ado, my first question for you, Michaela, is how and when did you first start reselling?
Okay. I like this question because it had me reflecting, and I don't think we've talked about this, but I went through a divorce several years ago. And when I was with my ex-husband, I purchased I was always a thrifter, but just one day I found a ton of really good designer jeans. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to buy them all. And I came home with them and was like, I'm going to sell these on eBay. I was like so excited. And he was like, clothing doesn't sell on eBay. And I was like, oh, okay. Because he was the only one that had experience selling on eBay. And I was like, well, I guess he knows. And so they ended up sitting in my closet for years, for like the whole time that I was with him, because it was really just like, I just felt discouraged at that point. Mm-hmm. Flash forward like 5 years, I had been divorced for 2 years, and I'm with my current boyfriend. I find out I'm pregnant, and I had this stuff that I had had from my previous relationship, from my marriage. It was stuff that he had bought me, and I was like, you know what? Like, I don't need this stuff. It's like fancy brands. I'm going to hop on Poshmark and try selling the stuff. You know, you start thinking about money when you know you're going to have a baby. And so I started listing stuff that my ex-husband had bought me. Like, it's kind of funny, like, get rid of this stuff. I'm going to save this money for my baby. And so that's where it started. So that was in 2017, the end of 2017. And So my reselling was very part-time and brief, like through my pregnancy. I had a terrible pregnancy. And so I was just kind of getting my feet wet. And that, I think, was a good way for me to start, because I was really limited by like how much time I could spend because I was so sick and in the hospital. And then I had a newborn. So then my boyfriend and I really started once my daughter had was born. It was like that following January where we both started. So I guess 2019 is when we really were like going at it full time, but I had been kind of selling on the side since 2018.
Okay. So okay, let's go back. So you've got those jeans. And that was the jeans were in 2017.
No, the jeans were years and years ago, like when I was married. So I think it would have been like 2012. And I was so excited coming home with all these jeans. And then it was just like, clothing doesn't sell on eBay, which is hilarious to me now.
Right.
But at the time I was like, oh, okay, well, now what do I do with all these jeans that aren't my size? And they literally sat in my closet for years until I just re-donated them, because I was just like, you know. I don't know. Well, that's where I was in life at that point. Like, I just had no idea. I wasn't like following anybody on social media that did it or anything. So that was my like basis of knowledge, was him selling like random stuff on eBay. He wasn't a reseller or anything, but.
Did you know, what made you think in 2012, like, to get these jeans and sell them on eBay? Like, what was the thought? Like, what triggered you to think, like, I'm going to make money off of these?
I know. I don't know. And I wish I would have just, like, gone with my gut. It was obviously just my gut, because now I guess all resellers kind of talk about this. Like, you just kind of follow your gut with, like, what you're purchasing and stuff. And I just remember standing. I think I spent, like, $200. I remember standing in there, and I was just finding, like, tons of them. And at that point, maybe I think it was like, you know, Seven for All Mankind and Citizens of Humanity, was that kind of stuff. And maybe that would have done okay that many years ago. I don't know. You know, we know the market has changed quite a bit since then.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what possessed me to just buy a ton of stuff, because before I had always just been thrifting for clothes for myself. I enjoyed that. And I felt like I kind of had to hide that part of myself in that relationship too. Like, it was kind of like gross. It was like that kind of a situation. And so then as soon as I got home and was like shut down, then I was like, oh, okay, I guess this isn't a thing. And I'm like, man, where would I be if I started then?
Oof. I hate those questions, Michaela. I ask myself those ones too. I'm like, if I had only kept doing Amazon. We don't want the answers to those. Okay, so you end up donating those jeans. You move on from that relationship. You know, I guess also I want to know, like, had you at any point, you know, I know your intention was to sell those on eBay, had you sold online or on eBay anywhere up until these past couple of years?
No, I hadn't. I had downloaded Poshmark. I think my thing says joined in 2013 or 2012, something like that. I had joined with the intention of shopping on it, and the platform was fairly new and totally confusing to me. Yeah. And so I deleted it. And again, there I'm like, what if I only started then? But so then I think my first sale was in October of 2017. Like, I went back and looked at that, and it was like a pair of boots he had bought for me that weren't even my size. Like, if that gives you any insight into the relationship.
No, wait.
Just a very, I mean, it ended up, it was the worst time of my life, you know, going through a divorce.
Yes.
And then now looking back on it, I kind of laugh, because I'm like, you know, you just ask yourself, like, what was going through your head at that point in your life? And I'm just so thankful now for where I've ended up. Like, and so thankfully I can look back on it like that. I know that's not everybody's experience with divorce, but that's mine for sure. So I'm super grateful.
You've got some good stories out of it for sure.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Oh goodness.
So, okay. So when you start selling the items that you had been gifted, I use gifted loosely, right? You're in a relationship. Yeah. That was part of your income as well. But, but you started on Poshmark. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you start selling items on there. You know, did you feel hooked like immediately?
Yeah.
Like, okay. You just start selling everything you have.
Yeah. Because I had such a terrible pregnancy, and what I was at that point, was in school and I was working as a barista, and the stand that I was in, like I had to be very mobile, and I had a lot of issues with my hips while I was pregnant, apart from other things. And so I couldn't work very much. And then I came to the point where I had like a preterm labor scare. And so then I couldn't work at all. And so I would just go to the thrift store and pick something, a few things up, and come back and take photos of them and list them. And so, yeah, right immediately, as soon as I started, things started selling right away. The things that I listed started selling right away. And I'm like, what is this? And so that's when I hopped on social media and started realizing that people do this for a living. And and I was like, well, this feels like this fits, you know. It was just kind of an immediate like, yeah, I want to do this, and this is something that's feasible while I'm like bedridden, basically. I wasn't completely, but not very mobile.
Yeah. Okay. So that's, fall of 2017. Mm-hmm. We're now in fall of 2020. So you had your daughter. I'm just trying to put the timeline together of everything. You know, when did you, I know that you said for yourself and your boyfriend that it was early 2019 that you went full time.
Yeah. So he was working as a property manager at the time, and just not, his values were not aligning with the company he was working with. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, let's just do this. And so he quit. And we have that luxury, I should mention, because we're living with my parents right now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not something that I'd like talk about a lot. And I think it's something I'd like to talk about more, because there's definitely a stigma around like being embarrassed about living with your parents. But I think a lot of people are in that stage of life right now. Like there's some crazy statistics about that. That the number of young adults or the like Gen Z millennials living with their parents is higher than it ever has been, and for many reasons. And so we're really lucky to be able to like kind of go after this entrepreneurial starting businesses and saving money to get our own house while we're with my family. So in 2019 we were able to just be like, let's do this, let's try this. And he's since moved on to another business. So now I'm back doing Poshmark myself. But that was really when we both were like, yeah, let's do this. And it was like he quit the end of January 2019. So
what was your buildup into wanting to go full time? Those months leading up to January 2019, what made you think I can make this a full-time income? Like, were you working somewhere before you, like, did you quit a job to go full-time?
I quit a job because I was having so much trouble with my pregnancy. And so then once I had, so I had already left my job.
Okay.
I was done with that term in school. And so then had my baby. She was born in July, and then took quite a few months just being with the newborn. And I think both of us realized that's the kind of lifestyle we want. We want to be able to be with our baby as much time as possible, and working for ourselves gives us that flexibility. And I think we both like kind of getting that started and working on it together realized that working for ourselves and having our own businesses was really like the right fit. It just happened to be the right fit for both of us. It's just kind of both of our personalities, and we work really well together, and Tyler's brain works completely different than mine. And so we can kind of like fill the gaps for each other. And so we're not necessarily working in the same business together now, but we can kind of like bounce ideas off each other. And that's really super great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, okay. So again, I'm carving out your timeline with you.
Okay.
So January 2019, you go full time, uh-huh. and we're recording this episode in October. I'm like, what year is it? It's 2020. So what has happened? I mean, it's basically almost been 2 years now, right?
Yeah.
So what has the past 2 years looked like for you full time? I mean, you know, initially when you went full time, were you just on Poshmark? Are you still just on Poshmark? Were you on other platforms?
I was initially we were initially just on Poshmark. And then when the pandemic started early this year, I was ready to like kind of branch out and try some cross posting platforms. And so we got on Mercari, and then just in the last we got on Mercari and Etsy. And then just in the last couple of months, I added Kitizen and Grailed. So we're all over the place now, but yeah, we had just initially started on Poshmark, and there again, I'm like, why didn't I start cross posting a year ago? But
well, it's a comfort level thing, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, knowing where you want to go and take your next step. Okay, so speaking of where you sell currently, yeah, talk to me about the platforms you sell. I mean, are you cross posting everything everywhere? You know, do you put everything on Mercari? What are you putting on Etsy?
Yeah. Yeah. So Mercari, I do cross post everything. And then on Mercari, through the pandemic, I listed like kind of hard goods, other things that I wasn't necessarily as comfortable selling, but we had like an obscene amount of puzzles from Tyler's mom.
Oh, nice. So
that ended up being great. People were really looking for things to do at the beginning then. So we had a bunch of, you know, selling some hard goods on Mercari, but cross-listing everything from Poshmark to Mercari. Etsy, I'm just selling any of my vintage pieces. So much smaller scale on Etsy. And then just recently Grailed, I'm working on moving all of my men's stuff to Grailed. It's just a menswear platform. And then Kitizen, obviously just my kids' clothing, and they now have a like mommy market. So I've cross-posted a couple women's things there too, but not, you know, not even a handful, I'd say.
Yeah, and I'm not.
I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com.
Like familiar at all with Grailed other than I've heard of it and I know people sell there. So can you tell me like, you know, what's it like? What are you listing over there? How does it work? Like the buying and selling experience.
I honestly don't feel like I fully have a picture of it yet. It's really been like a couple weeks, but it's interesting. Because you can open up your items to be international. So there's definitely a different market there. I listed a vintage vest that had been listed on Poshmark for like over a year with like two likes. And it sold within like a week on Grailed. So wow. Definitely. And it's interesting when you start cross posting, like the markets are very different. Oh, and I sell on ThredUp too. I just, just dawned on me. There's also that, but that's the nice part of ThredUp is you kind of like ship it and forget it.
Right. For yes. What,
but yeah. So Grailed, I don't have it figured out at all, but they have a similar structure to Mercari where they have a smart pricing.
Oh, okay.
And so the price will drop periodically. You can bump your items, and it's, I think, kind of similar to Mercari where by lowering your price by a certain percentage, mm-hmm. it'll kind of like bring your listings back to the top. But there's no like sharing feature. They don't have the social media structure that Poshmark has. So a gotcha. Lot less time consuming. Yeah.
No, that's nice. And what's their fee? Are they like 10 or 20%?
I think it's 10%. And then you, the shipping, you set it up yourself. So I've been using Pirate Ship for that.
Gotcha. Okay. And then you do ThredUp, which you just remembered that you did. Yeah. Wait, but then you also have, I want you to talk about your print on demand.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I've been doing that through Etsy and, but I'm working on having my own website so that I can just do it all from there and not have a second Etsy account. So yeah, the print on demand is fun and just something that I added on this year and just kind of testing the water with that.
What was your desire to get into it?
I'd seen something on social media mm-hmm. and kind of looking into it, and I wouldn't call myself like particularly artistic. Like, I'm certainly no graphic designer, but it mm-hmm. was a really fun process kind of like just working on that when I felt like it, you know, kind of brainstorming ideas. And Tyler actually came up with the late night lister phrase, and I love that because I mean that's the time I have to work. I have a 2-year-old, and so late night like listing while Tyler's like watching a movie or something, like I love that I can list late at night while mm-hmm. like we're spending time together in a way. So that's where that idea was born, and I think it really fits me. It really feels like me, and so that makes me happy that it's like it's really something that feels authentic for myself. So
yes, I mean, it resonated with me. I got a sticker.
Yeah.
I was like, that needs to go on my computer. I need one of those. Okay, so, you know, we've mentioned the pandemic a little bit and how it's changed your business or affected your business. You know, in thinking about the past, well, I'm like, gosh, how many months has kind of quarantine been going on? You know, 8 months or less? Yeah. I can't remember. But, you know, how has it affected the way you source? I mean, has your sourcing changed? Because I know obviously we're in the same state and stores were closed for a while. You know, mm-hmm. how did your business adjust?
It definitely changed because I was going to the bins a lot right before the pandemic, and that had kind of shifted that we were like shifting our business model to be more towards the bins kind of structure, and then then the pandemic hit, and so I was sourcing solely online from ThredUp, sourcing their like outlet section, their assorted brands, you know, really I mm-hmm. just shifted all the time that I had spent thrifting during the week to sourcing it online. And I did a little bit of, I guess you'd say, retail arbitrage. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't really fit my business model, like, you know, profit margin wise. I do it occasionally, but that's really not like a source for me. Mm-hmm. And so ThredUp really became like the source. And then also Goodwill's eBay stores. So I was also sourcing that way.
Gotcha. Yeah, the thread up assorted brands, I remember seeing you post about it, and certainly I saw other people posting about it as well. Mm-hmm. I wanted to like be good at that. Mm-hmm. But I never was. Whenever I go to the assorted brand section, I am just like looking around myself like, what am I doing here? I don't know what I'm looking at. Uh-huh. So, you know, when you're in the assorted brands shopping or looking on ThredUp, you know, mm-hmm. I'm curious, what factors are you looking for? Are you going in and are you solely looking at pieces that you perhaps would recognize? Are you looking at material content? Are you using Google Lens? You know, what's your process there?
Well, now that you just said Google Lens, a light bulb just went off. So no, I haven't been doing that. But I like to sort by material. So like, for example, in shoes, I will only sort for leather. I mean, there's lots of nice shoes that aren't leather, but it's sure. just kind of a way to like narrow it down and look for quality. And you can kind of mm-hmm. tell after, I mean, you know, for after you've been selling for a while, you can kind of tell the way things are built. And mm-hmm. I try to pick things that I can return if I don't, you know, it doesn't turn out. And there's been plenty of things that I've sent back because it didn't end up being anything that I, you know, wanted to sell. But it's just been a treasure hunt. I just really like sit there and zoom in, and some things you can see the back of jeans, you can see the tag on the back. I haven't had mm-hmm. great luck with jeans, but they'll be like Levi's listed under assorted brands,
right?
And you know, things you can like blatantly see the brand. But I told Tyler at the beginning of the pandemic, I was like, I'm gonna find a spell in the gypsy dress. I'm gonna do it. I know it. And I mean, and they have a very recognizable style. It happened to be a dress that I recognized and mm-hmm. really like zoomed in and tried to figure it out, the detail of the ties and all of that. And it came and it ended up being a spell in the gypsy dress. So there's some really great gems in there, but it's like, it's definitely slowed down for me doing that, because that was definitely like my source of time.
So. Yeah, I think I remember you posting about that spell in the gypsy dress, which I was like, what? That's so cool. And then, you know, in the same breath, I'm like, if I went on there and tried to find a spell in the gypsy dress, I would end up like, what would end up being shipped to me is just a bunch of like Target exhilaration brand stuff. Like, yeah, I am not good like that.
Yeah. So
but yeah, Google content. Lens. I think I tried using Google Lens a few times, which I think helped. But again, I don't have the patience, and I also just don't have the eye like some people do.
Well, and now that like I'm able to seek other forms of sourcing,
yeah,
it doesn't make sense to spend as much time as that. So, right. I mean, I still enjoy it. Like, it's fun. You know, I don't really online shop. I'm not really in that whole scene anymore. So now mm-hmm. if I feel like doing something mindless, I'll like go search through ThredUp's assorted brands.
Yeah. Just for fun on the couch.
Just for fun, yeah.
Yeah. So now that stores have opened back up, do you mind sharing how you're doing your sourcing now?
Yeah. So that also started slowing down. I mean, obviously with the pandemic, we didn't really just dive back in, and we were going as little as possible. You know, we're trying to mm-hmm. go out as little as possible. And then Tyler has started a painting business. And so I've been home with my daughter. And so I really wasn't able to get as much product as I had been until recently. I've had like a bulk buying opportunity. I'm essentially buying raw donations. I'm saying I'm buying them. I've bought one, and we have an appointment tomorrow to buy another. And so that is really bringing back more like a higher quantity of items, which is nice. I feel like I'm like ramping back up again and seeing bigger numbers. So
when buying in bulk and raw donations, I mean, that's always a gamble, right? Because yes. you're buying large, possibly hundreds of pounds, or not hundreds, but
no, they, yeah. So they said that so we bought two, and the first one was 800 pounds.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. So hundreds of pounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're buying hundreds of pounds of clothing, and you don't know what it's going to be. So can you talk to us, like, what did this first bulk buy look like for you? I mean, were all 800 pounds gems or?
No, not at all. But, and thankfully all 800 pounds weren't gems, because it wouldn't have fit in our car. We have a Jetta, like, diesel wagon. And so we have a lot of space back there, but I mean, not 800 pounds worth of space. And that was only one of them. The other one, I think, was like half that size. It was like 400 or 500 pounds. And so we probably left about, I don't know, I'd say like 80% of it. But what we did get was amazing. And the way that they did it this time is we got to go through it all there and leave what we didn't want. And that would kind of continue along their path of going to their retail stores or their outlet. And so we were able to bring home like over 200 items, and so it was well worth it. And most of it was really high-end menswear, and I'm learning so much already from that. So it's like, it's definitely a gamble, and it might not always be great, but for our first experience with it, just the knowledge that I'm gaining from it makes it worth it. But thankfully it was a lot of items that are selling. I mean, a lot of it's already selling. So we've made our money back. And so now that makes me feel a lot better, because I was definitely nervous going into it. Like, what did I just do? You know, spending over $300 on what could be just total junk.
Right.
But I've learned over my 2 years of reselling that some of it is taking risks and seeking out new ways of sourcing and kind of shifting your business model when needed. I think we've all learned that this year. And so I don't know, it turned out well. This risk we took turned out well, but they're all risks you take. At least you'll learn something.
Amen to that. I'm so glad you said that, because I'm like, that's my school of thought too, right? Like, you're going to learn something in it, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
So I know that also this past year you've started a new venture. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. So I started, I guess, what we call a micro event business with one of my best friends. We've known each other for 16 years now, and it kind of just was one of those conversations where we're like, wouldn't this be cool? And then we just kind of went for it. And so we plan and style micro events. So during this whole pandemic, I mean, obviously things were shut down for quite a while, but as things opened up, we are bringing either like special date nights to people's homes, planning like extravagant picnics, just trying to kind of bring people back to celebrating on a smaller scale, on a scale that can be safe during the pandemic. And so it's been really fun. It's called Tented Events, PNW. And we have been really surprised actually with the how people have received it and the interest and success of it just already. So it's definitely winding down now that the weather is getting a little bit colder, but we're feeling good about when spring rolls around that we have a lot of interest. So that's been really fun.
And so if people book an event, what do you guys go and do? What do you show up and do?
So we come in with, we have fun, like low floor seating tables and rugs and pillows. We do all the decor and setup. So it's just, so basically, I guess you could call us a rental company, but we come in and decorate everything and then we leave. And you get to enjoy your time with, you know, your small group. We just did a baby shower this weekend and So she had like five of her friends and we set it up in their living room. And it was just a way to make it really special when you can't have, you know, these big extravagant parties that, you know, you normally would.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm just like, Michaela, you are brave to start an event planning company in a global pandemic.
I know. When I say it out loud, I'm like, I sound crazy. But the idea was that it's like a small scale. It's like, you know, for the largest setup we have is for 8 people. Mm-hmm. And so it's really just to like bring that, like, I don't know, you're not going to restaurants as much. Right. So you can have a anniversary date night at home where somebody comes in and sets everything up and you can order takeout and like have a really nice time without having to worry about, you know, people being around you. So
yeah, no, it's awesome. I think I've seen a few pictures that you've posted of the setups. It looks really awesome. Okay, so you're between that and reselling on all these different platforms you sell on, you know, how are you juggling everything? And maybe I should even hold that. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to tie it into, I'm going to ask my questions now out of order, but I'm going to tie it into talking about challenges in your business. You know, how do you do all these different things and be a mom and run your business?
I feel like I don't have a good answer. I mean, it all works. We make it work. And my personality thankfully fits with that, where I can be like really flexible about, okay, this day I know I have this time that I can photograph, and then the rest of the week I'll be listing. So I guess I'm batching my work. Mm-hmm. I guess that would be the answer, is that the days that I do things aren't always the same. Mm-hmm. But I'll have like a photographing day, I'll have a day where I'm working on our upcoming events and designing for that, I'll have you know, a day for listing. And so the days that I have somebody to watch Nora, those will be the days that I'm away photographing. But if I'm the one watching Nora, I can list, you know, here and there during her nap, later at night. And so I guess batching my work would be the short answer to that. But it is difficult. And not every week I accomplish everything I hoped that I would. And that's okay. That's the stage of life I'm in right now, having a toddler. And I'm just trying to embrace that.
And, you know, on that note, I mean, you know, I ask you about challenges you face in your business. Is time management the biggest challenge, or are there other things that you feel like in thinking about your business that you're like, you know, you feel like you're wanting to improve on?
I think time management for me definitely is the challenge. And I think that, again, it's just because I have a toddler and she takes, you know, precedent over it all. And so I just feel really lucky to have discovered reselling, because then I have the luxury of working late at night or early in the morning when she's in bed, and I've been able to start another business because I can be flexible about my week and the time that I spend. So it is crazy. And some days I'm like stressed out and wondering what the heck I did to myself, but it's definitely, I'm able to be flexible. And so just kind of staying on task and getting things done, managing my time well, is definitely the challenge for me, for sure.
Yeah. So in thinking about, you know, being a mom, and you mentioned, well, you know, you live with your boyfriend, you're living with your parents, you know, tell me about your workspace and your business setup. What does this look like?
Thankfully, I have a space. Oh, nice. Like, I have a whole room in our basement.
That's awesome.
And so I can kind of get away. But I almost wish that I could live in my working space more than I do. The grass is always greener, because I don't feel like I can just run downstairs, because I have a toddler upstairs, and then she likes to draw on everything. So I don't want her like with the inventory. And so there is like a disconnect where I get a customer like, hey, can you measure this for me? And I'm like, Yes, but in a few hours, because I can't, you know, do both. I have a toddler upstairs and I can't come all the way downstairs. It's a big house. And so that sounds crazy, but that's the situation here.
Okay, so you've got a basement to work out of. Mm-hmm. That sounds really nice. You know, what does your setup look like down there? I mean, is it a very large space? Are you keeping all your inventory in there? Do you do all the photographing?
Yeah, so it's all my inventory, my shipping, my photographing, and so it's a mess. I don't know. I feel okay saying that because I feel like other resellers Everybody's understand is. Because yes. It's not necessary. It's, you know, it's my mess. I know where everything is.
Yep.
And, so it's not pretty. I don't, you know, I wish I had an Instagrammable office that I could just, you know, pop on and say hi and show everybody what I'm doing. And I could totally do that and it's fine. But no, I haven't like crossed over my event planning and decorating skills to my office quite yet. So it's functioning well, and I have an inventory system, and so my product that I've photographed and everything isn't everywhere, but it's just, you know, the process of everything, the shipping, the processing, yes, when things come in, the cleaning and all of that, that's kind of everywhere. So
yeah, I'm always like a little suspect of people who post pictures of like perfect offices. I'm like, what actually happens in there?
Yeah, maybe when I didn't have so many items, maybe when, yeah, my business was on a much smaller scale, I could have, yeah, been like that. But nope. That's just not the way it's going to be, at least not for now. I mean, you know,
yeah,
maybe when we end up buying a house and I have a different space, I'll be motivated to like really decorate it. But time is money, right? When you run, right, your own business. And so, mm-hmm, that's just not my focus. So it's,
right,
decorating,
you don't,
my space.
You don't make, yeah, right, exactly. You don't make money decorating your space with, no, stuff from TJ Maxx.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So, you know, speaking of inventory and everything like that, how many pieces do you have in your inventory? Do you know?
We're at just over 500 right now. Nice. Now that I'm like kind of listing, mm-hmm, more, we were over 600, mm-hmm, when we were sourcing from the bins a lot. And, mm-hmm, so, and then I was kind of thinking I'm gonna scale back my inventory. And then with this new bulk buying situation, now I'm like ready to roll and like ramp up, and, mm-hmm, I'm thinking about like the money I'm making from this. Do I want to start buying liquidation pallets? You know, mm-hmm, it's like, it really changes, and your business model can change with you. And, mm-hmm, I don't know. So for now, that number's going up, but
yeah. Well, okay. So that leads me kind of into my next question, mm-hmm, which you maybe have touched on a little bit in that answer, but you know, where do you see the future of your business going? And I know, you know, it's hard to look into our crystal balls right now. Mm-hmm. 2020 has been a challenging year, but, you know, I mean, do you have thoughts or goals for where you'd like to see this go?
Yeah. And I think that answer has changed quite a bit, like over the last few years. And right now, the really where I'd like to be is, I love doing this. I love, mm-hmm, like what it does for the environment. I love the idea of saving all these pieces and getting them back into the community. And so I think I would love to have my own website, and that's ideal, right? To sell your own inventory on your own platform. And maybe that will be feasible. Maybe I will continue to be on Poshmark and other selling platforms as well. But for the future, I don't see myself quitting doing this. It may shift, like I might spend less time doing this and more time doing my other business, mm-hmm, but I definitely see myself continuing reselling for as long as I can.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned, you know, possibly the bulk buying has got you interested in looking at doing liquidation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just like trying new things within, mm-hmm, this reselling. I've tried so many different things. I've tried thread up rescue boxes. I've tried the Goodwill blue boxes. Mm-hmm. That was a learning experience. Not great. I've done retail arbitrage. I've done, you know, local thrift stores. I've done buy sell trade stores. And so I'm just interested in trying it, you know, and learning what I can from it. And maybe that will take me off into a different direction. And I'm totally open to that. So maybe that's a hard question to answer for like a podcast where I should have like a definitive answer for you. But that's kind of the point for me in reselling, is that I can go where like my passion lies and my business can change with that and change with what's happening. My daughter will grow up and be in school at some point. And so where will my business be at that point when I have more time? So I love that about it. And so it sounds kind of like I'm just running on a whim, but that's kind of what I like about it. And it's not a whim. It's not a whim, but it sounds that way.
No, I don't think it's a whim. If anything, like what I'm getting from it is just willingness to try all things or new things.
Yeah.
Or anything. All the things.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. You're chasing the money wherever it is. That's
yeah.
A good thing.
Yeah. And I'm not like afraid of that. I'm not afraid to sell something that I don't necessarily like. Mm-hmm. You know, and some days I'm like, man, I wish my closet was pretty, but that's not what makes me money. I mean, one of the things that I can sell, like I know will sell overnight, is like Carhartt pants for men, you know, and that's where I want to be. And that doesn't mean I know there's very successful people that have curated closets.
Right.
But that's not where I'm at right now. And that's fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, thinking back on the past couple of years since you started reselling, I'm curious what advice you would give yourself when you were first starting out.
I feel like my advice is similar to others that I've heard, in that I wouldn't buy things that other people said I should buy. I wouldn't, you know, go stock up on things that I had just seen once, you know, on a YouTube video or something. I think I would just I would start by following like current bloggers, current like fashion trends. That's where I would start, rather than diving so much into, I think the reselling community is amazing, and that like you can really get off the ground without spending any money on like a course or too much money on your inventory. But like the whole brands thing, it changes so quickly. Like the market changes so quickly. And that's something that I didn't know going into it. And so I may have been watching a YouTube video that was like 5 years old.
Right.
And the market has changed like 800 times since then. And so, I wish I would have known that going into it, that how the market changes so quickly and how different closet to closet can be, even within the same app. There's some brands that sell great for people and some that can't move them to save their life. And so I think starting slow, learning about the current like fashion market, what's trending now, and not going out and just buying a bunch of stuff because that's what I saw on a YouTube video that I didn't take the time to see what year was filmed in.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because for my YouTube channel, I logged in the other day and I saw the most recent comment that had come through from just a few days ago was on a video from almost 2 years ago. It was a haul. It was a haul video from 2 years ago. And somebody, you know, bless their heart for watching my videos, totally appreciate it. But it was almost 2 years ago. And they said something like, oh, you picked up great brands or something like that. But in my head, I'm thinking like, I don't even know what was in this video. You know what I mean? And odds are, if I probably watched it again, I probably wouldn't be picking up those same brands. You know, like there's, I probably, maybe like half of them, But I bet half of them I'd be like, oh gosh, I should never have, like, you know, if I watched it, I'd be like, I should have never picked up that item. I should have never picked up that item, you know?
Right. And, you know, looking back on it now, like, I don't like look back on it with too much regret because I learned mm-hmm. so much. Like, yes. Yeah, I spent way too much money on old Anthropology pieces.
Right.
But I learned so much from that. And I, you know, invest all this money into going to college, you know, you invest money in your business in hopefully in education towards your business. And so that's kind of a piece of it is the trial and error. And you really can't get around that. I mean, even you, I know you purchase something and then you're like, man, why did I get this? I'm still staring mm-hmm. at it in my closet, you know, 6 months later with no likes or whatever.
Right.
That really is part of it. You can't avoid that. You can't be like the expert to the point where like you never pick up duds,
but, right?
So I hope that comes across to people starting out is that like none of us have it completely figured out.
No.
Because it's constantly changing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's constantly changing. Trends are changing. I mean, I think that there's certain things that will probably always be a yes, like,
oh, yeah.
You know, high fashion designer items mm-hmm. are always going to be a yes. But yeah, it's so true. I mean, like, again, thinking when you and I probably first started doing this and it was like, mm-hmm. yeah, buy Anthropology, you know, mm-hmm. like that's the thing to buy. And now you're like, I can't move this stuff to save my life because it's so saturated.
Yeah. Yeah. And no, understanding that, like, there's good brands. And then within that, there's so many different styles. And is mm-hmm. that style saturated? Is that out of style? Is, you know, is like, this is $7.99, but it's a t-shirt. Like, think about this logically about the shipping and all of that. There's mm-hmm. so many pieces. And so I think it's really great that there are courses out there to kind of bring those questions to the surface that you may not even know to ask when you're starting. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is just trial and error. And that's not really the answer that
right.
most people want.
Mm-hmm. It's like when you're trying to lose weight and you say mm-hmm. diet and exercise, that's not the answer most people
no.
want.
No. Yeah. You're like, just tell me how to get from A to Z because I don't want to do all the other
things. Right. I don't want to do B, C, D.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel that really hard.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Michaela, for spending your time, your morning to the listener. We're recording very early in the morning. So thank you very much for giving me your morning and allowing me to get to know you a little bit better. I feel like there's more layers to unpeel here. I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah. But I got a good start.
Yes. Thank you so much. I'm
yes. Yeah. Well, I'll talk with you soon, friend.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey there, thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast, and there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you again to Michaela for being on this week's episode of the podcast. I had so much fun getting to learn more about you, your business, and how it's evolved over the past few years. Again, you can find Michaela on Instagram and Poshmark under the username Closet Reloved, and all of that information will be in the show notes for you. Well, we are about 6 weeks away from the end of the year, which is entirely too crazy to say out loud.
You may or may not live in a state that is re-entering some sort of quarantine or shutdown. If that is the case for you, I do wish, health and safety for you and your loved ones. And of course, hopefully you have some sort of death pile or money pile for those who prefer to call it a money pile stored up for you to sell during this time. So with that, I say to you, keep on listing and keep on selling.